Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge, take in the laughs, indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
Hello and welcome back to Now We Consume. I'm your host, Gibbs. Along with me is my co-host.
I'm Pip.
Oh yeah. And welcome back, everyone. Great to see everyone again. So on today's episode,
you can see them.
I like to think so. Hi.
What are you taking?
It's expensive. All right. It's expensive. I had to meet a weird man in the alley. For some reason, my butthole hurts. I don't know. A lot happened. But
Show me on the doll where the bad man touched you.
Can I just dip the whole doll in the ink then? Is that an option? Where did he touch you? Yes, officer. Yes. Anyways, today's episode is titled Apes, Aliens, or Adam. Where did humans really come from? Now, this is just going to be an open discussion about the topic. Obviously, we'll never really know. That's kind of the fun part about this. But we both have our opinions on this subject, and we're going to have some agreements, some disagreements, and we definitely want to hear people in the comments agreeing or disagreeing, because we're not going to be blunt about, we're going to be very blunt about some of this. We're not going to sugarcoat certain things, so I'm pretty excited for this one, because it's something that we've talked about on numerous occasions. This is not a new subject for the two of us.
Oh, no, not even a little bit. Yeah.
Not even a little. Definitely, it's definitely going to be one of the topics that I think humans are going to be discussing for forever, and that's half the fun of it. But I think the
more we learn, and honestly, I think the more that we push our beloved AI overlords.
No.
All praise be to Willow. I think the more that we use the tools that become available at our disposal and we dig, the more we find out, learn, and understand ways to further push the envelope.
I feel like the more we learn, the more that we know is the more that we don't know. We understand just how much we don't understand about the universe around us.
Absolutely.
And about our existence. So if you think you know the answer, guess what? You're wrong. And that's the fun of it.
Or if you think you know the answer, then the only thing you know for sure is your own answer.
Yeah. But odds are it's wrong. Because yeah. I bet you none of us are going to be right.
No, probably not. Although I think personally it's safe to say that one of the three is correct.
No, I have option four.
Well, okay, yes, that's true. Because
yep,
it's not in the title.
I'm saving that one for later. I'm giving a little sneak peek.
Oh,
I believe there's a fourth option here.
Fourth hole.
That one you have to get consent for.
Just spit on it.
Oh, no. If it could fit in the fourth hole, I'm sorry, little one. I am sorry. If you don't know what we're talking about, I'm sorry.
Just Google it. You don't want blue waffles.
No, don't you dare. No, do not do that.
Hey, do Alexa, that. Google blue waffles.
No.
Oh, I've always wanted to do that.
No. We cannot afford to pay people's therapy. No. We don't have the funds for that. No. Absolutely not. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I'm on it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Arthur C. Clarke once said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And that still holds true today, as we have seen with the drones. Were they really drones? Were they aliens? Were they government aircraft? We still don't know. We haven't heard jack shit.
Well, there's actually a really great episode of Next Generation that talks about this. where they get in contact with an older civilization that's equivalent to like Europe being like the 13th century, and Picard and the Enterprise are able to revive someone from the dead. And all these people think, oh my God, they're magicians. They can do these wonderful things. And he's like, no, we just understand science and technology. And they never really, they didn't die. They were just close to it. And that whole episode talks about exactly this topic, where the closer you get to understanding the universe at a very fun, not just a fundamental level, but a very scientific, very detailed level, and being able to manipulate it and change it, the crazier and weirder it gets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you look at things like in quantum physics and stuff like that.
Yeah,
superposition principle and all that.
Yeah.
Because that one, that one still confuzzles me to this day.
Yeah. So the three things that we want to really touch on in this episode tonight, the theory of evolution, which is a hotly debated topic. I know.
No,
we never talk about touchy feely subjects. The theory that it's possible that ancient advanced beings came to Earth and either posed as or were worshipped as gods and intermingled with ancient hominid life, Neanderthal and the ilk. Or true creation.
Is there a higher power in the universe? You know, did we come from something, divine, some sort of creation? Do we come from, what's that, the Big Bang Theory, basically, do we come from that center point in the universe or not? You know, right. There's so many questions there.
And I feel like even the Big Bang Theory itself is both scientific and creationist a bit. It still ties into evolution to an extent, but
the problem with that one is always, it's not that the universe is expanding. It's that, how did it start?
Mm-hmm.
That's always the problem.
What like, came like before the bang is the big question.
Usually a nice dinner.
Yeah, you know, some alcohol and some food, you know.
but no, so that's always that's the wonder, because we can objectively observe that the universe is expanding. The problem is, with the speed of light, we can only observe it to a certain point.
Correct.
And the further out you observe, the further back in time you look.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the weird phenomena where you hit this bubble where you can't see past it because the light hasn't gotten here yet.
Right.
And unfortunately, with the span of our lifetimes, it's not going to change.
Unfortunately. Which, to circle back to a previous episode, is one reason why I want to stick around for longer than our lifetime.
I mean, okay, fair enough. But do you know how long it's going to take, even if we develop like warp travel or faster than the speed of light, even to get to another galaxy? Is going to take thousands and thousands of years, let alone going several thousand galaxies away. It's unfortunately just, it's never.
Well, I think.
Unless you can figure out how to fold space.
Yeah. Intra-galaxy travel would be doable with like the standard theoretical warp drives. And we're going to veer off topic for a second, but extra galactic travel, you would have to have some sort of really advanced space folding wormhole travel type deal. Because the distances are mind numbingly huge. That's you need some kind of life extension technology to even begin to approach that boundary.
Oh yeah. It's an insane engineering feat to be able to get, let alone from one planet to another, not to mention outside of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not to mention how absolutely massive the universe is. Like it's incredible. And it's crazy to consider that less than 0.00000001% of the universe is actually occupied by anything. The 99.99999% is just all empty space.
Like my head.
Like my head on edibles.
Oh, yes. All right. Anyway. So every ancient civilization that has ever existed on Earth has some sort of creation myth. They all also have some sort of a flood story that goes along with their creation myths.
Yeah.
Many also share some similarities in those myths. Many of them describe beings that came from the heavens, when loosely translated, on chariots of fire.
Yeah.
So a lot of people take this to be beings from the heavens came down to the earth. We have depictions of these gods that were among the people being many, several feet taller than the humans that were around at that time. The Anunnaki were one of those supposed people. We have very, very minute possible proof of the Anunnaki. We have a body that is supposed to be a descendant of a half Anunnaki, half human hybrid. It's a queen down in, I want to say, Peru. That DNA is only confirmed to have been half human. They don't know what the rest is.
Somebody got busy.
Right.
Who the hell travels to another planet and says, yeah, I want to mate with that?
I would.
What?
Dude, it's the Kirk phenomenon. You go out into the galaxy, what's the one thing you want to do? Clap cheeks. You clap alien cheeks.
Space Glet over here. Jesus Christ. Mr. Quagmire.
Giggity giggity.
I don't know. That would be wild.
Yeah. But aside from the one queen, there are bodies with elongated skulls, and these have been the point of contention for a long time in the archaeological community. Some people say it was head wrapping. Some people say that these were different types of humans, different subspecies or whatever. Their DNA in Peru matched only DNA from people who came from the Middle East. And they were from a time period where the global travel that we understand did not and could not have existed. So
that was after Pangaea is the point you're making. Is that?
Oh yeah. Well, after that, I mean, this is, these are human, you know, Homo sapiens, Homo erectus, mm-hmm. that were in Peru,
mm-hmm.
you know, Inca, Aztec, before those. How did the DNA of people from the Middle East get to the west coast of South America?
The question would then become, was it after the Bering Strait was unpassable? That's the question, because I know from Alaska to Russia,
right?
That Bering Strait for a long time was passable. That's why we have the Native Americans.
Correct.
And everything that was in North America. But if you're talking about people that were in Peru thousands of years before then, when the Bering Strait was passable, sure, but also I don't know if humans would have been able to even travel through parts of like Russia and Siberia. That's extremely hard to get through if you don't have the proper tools, clothing, everything else.
Yeah.
Sure, they could have, but man, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those crazy things.
No, go ahead. Good.
No, just one of those crazy things when you look at the ancestries going back for different areas. How people, they did travel quite far, which is kind of crazy. You would think like, oh, if I'm going to leave a village and just keep and go for a little bit, if you're walking, you think maybe 50 miles, 100 miles, maybe a couple hundred miles. But some of these people just kept freaking walking.
Yeah, they.
It's like Forrest Gump has always existed.
The global
existed.
Forrest Gump, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the tism was stronger back then.
Yeah, no meds. The Sumerian culture, which was the first real culture, even the Greek culture for everything that it was, owes a lot of their greatness to the Sumerians. They wrote of a lot of different things. I mean, they were the first to actually develop writing. Some people don't know that. We aren't really taught a lot about the ancient Sumerians in modern school.
Well, it's funny. In at least in my experience, when it came to history, like world history, you would do a chapter or two about the Mesopotamians, the Sumerians, and that kind of culture, because it really established Hammurabi's code of law, how writing was actually done back then with hieroglyphics and cuneiform. Also established trade, barter, civilization, irrigation was a big thing, farming in terms of making plows and basic metal tools. You're talking just before the Bronze Age kind of thing. So there was a lot that we have to owe to them, that they started what we know as civilization. Before then, it was all nomadic tribes.
Yeah.
There was nothing written down, nothing passed on. It was just word of mouth, and languages were evolving. So,
I mean, Sumer was the first town, like the first real city.
Yes. But they depicted many things religiously that really set the stone for really set the standard for a lot of other religions.
Oh yeah.
That you spoke about earlier, but definitely set in stone the big things. If you look at Hammurabi's code, that pulls. Oh, sorry, a lot of other religions pull from there. Particularly, you're looking at the Ten Commandments. Particularly looking at different things from Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, even later on, if you look at how the Greeks and the Romans had it, even though they had kind of like a little bit of a different kind of religious thing going on, where it talks about the different planets having different gods, and kind of it was a little bit more, also a little bit more like theater in a way with their religion, how they're kind of many different characters instead of like one singular god. Was kind of more of like a polytheistic thing, but they all pull from the Sumerian culture extremely heavily with the same stories.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because most of any major religions across the world, they all share that. Particularly all share a very similar set of codes and ethics, as well as, you know, ideas like marriage, which was always kind of funny. Because if you're a nomadic tribe, I don't think marriage is really something that like comes about naturally.
Right.
You know, call me wrong on that one, but
yeah. Yeah, no, nomadic tribes, you normally want survival versus just happiness of one or two.
Yeah, because the idea of marriage usually means like you're in a static area and have a static kind of place around you. You have a land that you own, an area that you own, a consistent or semi-consistent, you know, community around you.
Right.
And so that's what it established. Not to mention bartering.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a trade system, a monetary system. You know, there's a lot that was established. And then every single other religion basically talks about after that point.
Yeah. So we have all the ancient Sumerian information. We have the possibility of the evolution of man as a slave labor force for these possible extraterrestrial beings that came
down.
That's
a jump. That's a jump. Hold on.
That's a big jump, right?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. So you're saying that there's a way that humans were raised for slave labor.
Yes.
I mean, it's not impossible, but we're a rowdy bunch. I don't feel like we're really that good for slave labor. Not for nothing.
And I'll kind of go into that a little bit later. Yeah. But it's just one of the possibilities. Okay. And that one is under the, we are here because of the alien involvement, extraterrestrial involvement. There's a very big series, most of which has been debunked, unfortunately, but it does lend some thinking. There were some things that were shown to be actually true, and that's some of the stuff I'll touch on later. that just says, okay, there's some things that we don't understand and don't know yet. So the possibility of man being used as a slave labor force still exists. And that's where we evolve some of our traits. Global similarities in cultures, which you touched on, as many cultures across the world have the same kind of base level foundations and fundamentals. How do all those cultures who supposedly never had contact have the same base understandings? Things like the pyramids. I mean,
well, what's interesting is a lot of the pyramids predate writing.
Right.
Which is one of the weird things where you look at there's pyramids around the world that were built. But if there wasn't writing, unless they all walked, like they all talked to each other and then walked and separated and took years to get to these places, sometimes mm-hmm. even decades of walking, and right. yet they somehow built similar pyramids in different
structures,
areas.
Structures, right.
And in some cases, some of those were 5 or 10,000 years apart.
Uh-huh.
And yet they somehow are very similarly done and constructed. Right. That does look really fishy.
Right. So on that, there's the possibility, and I'll only touch on this very little bit. The lost continent of Mu, in the Pacific Ocean, stretched across a large portion of it. It went from the Easter Islands to the Philippines, or almost to the Philippines, and it covered a very huge portion. And that could explain a lot of the missing gaps in language, technology, travel, and foot traffic from Western Asia Eastern Asia to Western South America. There's not a lot of study that's gone into this because the background for the foundation of the missing continent is still kind of foggy.
Mm.
Madame Blavatsky, an infamous psychic, was the person who said that she saw the island or the continent, but after she started talking about it, people went out looking a little bit and they found a lot of connections to it. More than enough to say, okay, she may not have been entirely wrong.
Mm.
And they did find New Zealandia or something like that off the coast of Australia.
What?
It's a whole new continent. They've said, yes, this is a thing. It takes up like New Zealand up to almost the Philippines. It is an underwater continent now, and it's there. It's being officially recognized. So that's one underwater continent that we now have been able to say, yes, this is there. So if there's one, there's reason to say there could be another.
I'm surprised it took us that long to find that out.
Yeah. But as far as Easter Island goes, and I told you this last night, most people are familiar with the Easter Island heads.
Yes.
Those heads are not just heads. There are full bodies on those heads. They're just buried underground.
Okay.
So what's more logical? That people were just living on an island in the middle of nowhere, decided, hey, let's just carve some heads and then leave them there? Or that these islands were part of a communal chain of land and they had these big statues that they worshipped or used for whatever purpose, and were buried under some kind of a catastrophic land movement, possibly associated with the Younger Dryas event that had a lot of land movement associated with it.
Yeah. Well, especially considering we know that Pangaea happened, to where at one point...
Well, you're talking about millions of years ago.
I know, no, but hear me out. But hear me out, though, because I will say we've looked a lot of evidence of a lot of these buildings being built even far before, like, Cro-Magnon, mm-hmm. even before we were Neanderthal, even for some of them, they get aged so far back. It is very possible that things have moved around differently than what we expect,
mm-hmm.
and that the ocean levels have changed a lot between also different ice ages and different heating periods and cooling periods of the Earth. It's very possible. There's been many times where different land masses are more and less exposed and changed around where they are. It doesn't mean things aren't where... that does not mean things are where they were.
Right.
You know, 10,000, 20,000, even 30,000 years ago.
Well, when you say about 10,000, I'll say let's say possibly 11,000 to 13,000 years ago.
Okay.
I will bring up the Younger Dryas event or the period, because that time frame was probably the last major planetary shift of we'll call it defacing of the planet.
Okay.
That's the one where, if you believe in the story of Atlantis, that's probably what wiped out Atlantis. And if you know where to look for Atlantis, the Eye of Africa, according to the story of Plato, fits. Like 95% fits.
Hmm.
And if you look at the satellite map of it, you can see where what would have been a massive body of water would have run through that desert and out to the ocean. The physical evidence is there.
Have they just like not looked for anything then?
I mean, it's in Jordan and it's not the best region right now. There have been some ground stuff or ground people on the ground that went and looked for things, and they have found enough artifacts, we'll call it, enough possible proof to say, yeah, it's worth looking into, but it's Jordan. It's not the best place in the world.
Yeah,
it's
political turmoil. Nowhere. Yeah, political turmoil is going to get in the way of archaeology every time.
Oh, yeah. So, but all of that was said to just say that goes back to the evolution of man is a part of the scale of the earth that we are missing a chunk of history of. There's a large piece of the pie that somebody else ate, and we don't know who.
Well, not only that, but the amount of human existence that has been documented is so infinitesimally small compared to the part that has not been documented.
Oh, yeah.
That we will always be finding, you know, archaeological digs and records and other things. Wasn't it even recently that they started to make progress on the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah.
And other stuff like that. Like, we're finally starting to understand. And to be fair, once AI gets its grubby little hands on it, I think things are going to change. But
yeah,
it's going to be incredible once we give AI technology the ability to look at satellites and look at things and start to uncover exactly, you know, the patterns and everything that could have been previous civilizations. Yeah. But there's definitely a lot more in the past in terms of civilizations and cultures that there's a lot of eerie similarities and a lot of things that we're unfortunately not aware of that right. I feel like there's a lot more out there than we know.
Yeah. The last thing that I will really touch on for there being potential evidence of humans having been engineered. Neanderthal and Homo sapien DNA have been found to be identical with the exception of a single amino acid. And as far as our current science can explain, there is no natural process that can alter that amino acid other than gene editing.
It couldn't just be a...
There is no known mutational capacity to alter this amino acid. It can only be done with a CRISPR-type process.
So what you're saying is we're experiments.
Potentially.
Okay.
So if you need a strong slave labor force that's smart enough to do a job, but not too smart enough to make the ships fly off into outer space, well, there you go. Also, we have a lot of health issues on this planet.
What?
That we should not have. We are the only species on this planet that suffers sunburn with no natural resistance to it. Pigs will burn, yes, but they cover themselves in mud. Fish have scales. Apes have hair. Birds have feathers. Where is our natural immunity from the sun? We grow up, we get old, we have all kinds of back and joint problems. We may not have evolved in this gravity.
Well, to be fair, we're also living way longer than what we were designed for. For thousands and thousands of years, you didn't live past the age of like 25. You know, you live to be 13, 14, 15, you hit puberty, you have kids, you live another 10 years, then you die.
Well,
that was a cycle for a long time.
Died in war or you got eaten by a mountain lion. Oh, yeah. Bob Kitty.
Yeah, you get your first cramp at the ripe age of 26 and you go down by that lion. That's it. That's it. Not enough. It kind of sucks that we're kind of designed to where we kind of fall apart past the age of 30, 40. But throughout the course of humanity, that was very common to not make it past 30, 40.
Yeah.
Even in civilizations. I mean, hell, a lot of the Romans, they didn't make it past 60. Which, don't get me wrong, is pretty good for the Romans. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. You're talking nobility at that point. Average peak commoners, oh yeah, dying in their 40s and 50s all the time.
Yeah.
And really not a lot changed until like the 18th century.
No. Medicines and health care understanding and hygiene and all that did a lot for us.
Yeah, because until that point is basically, oh yeah, you have something wrong with you. Yeah, do drugs about it. That's about it. It's either that or here's this random friggin' insect that's going to peel off a bit of your skin, and there you go. Or what was the one that they use? Not leeches.
You got leeches. Some demons in your blood. You should do some cocaine about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know. Have you tried rubbing this garlic on your nipple? Like, it just, it's some of the weirdest things. So, I don't know. We've gotten lucky, at least with modern medicine. It's gotten so much better.
Oh, yeah.
But that's one of the reasons why human civilization for a long time struggled to get anywhere. Right. Because if people don't live that long, you got a lot to do in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pass down information when all those people die in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know?
Which kind of goes back to the... It's a good segue to go into the religious aspect. A lot of the people that were writing the text for the various holy books, mm-hmm. you know, they were passing on knowledge that was passed down to them, that was passed down to them, that was passed down to them. I mean, it's been the world's longest game of telephone ever.
Basically.
There's bound to have been misinterpretations and probably some personal flair added in here and there. So without original texts to pull from, and yes, there's some that are said, oh, this is the book that was written by such and such. Well, do we know that for sure?
No.
It's like the Vatican. Oh, my goal in life would be to raid the Vatican vault and dump everything onto the open market. Oh, I want it so bad.
Well, that's unfortunately the issue with humanity, to where you are correct with the world's longest game of telephone. And especially with so many legitimized copies of different religions, depending on how you want to look at it, to where there is no really set standard. And I know people that are religious are going to hate me for saying that, but it's cool that you think your version of religion is the adopted, the best one. Cool. That's great. But there is no objective set, hey, this is the right one, this is the right way, this is the right thinking. Like, look at all the different types of Catholicism or Christianity in general. There's all these different denominations, all these different things, and all they say, oh yeah, I have the right blank for this thing. Not to mention, you know, any other religion. I'm just pulling from stuff that I know. It's insane to try to figure out which one exactly has it right. But what's interesting is almost all of them pull from the same basic storyline.
Mm-hmm.
All of them pull from the storylines that came out of the Middle East.
Yeah.
They almost all pull from some sort of Judeo-Christian value and then change it from there.
Yeah. And most of those are even based on older pagan beliefs and rituals and everything.
Well, that's the thing. They are all subdivisions of a similar type of belief system.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and one thing about the entirety of the religious consortium. I like that word. Every religion has a flood myth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost identical with a few tweaks here and there, you know, names, locations, those kind of things are a little different. But the majority of the flood myth is the same. Mm-hmm. And it's more or less descended of the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Yes.
Which is more or less taken from, again, Sumerian text. Mm-hmm. So there again, we're taken back to Sumerian ties, which may or may not be entirely divine in origin. They may or may not be purely evolutionary. But I think a lot of it ties back into the ancient Sumerians.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to consider if Sumerians, ancient Sumerians, were the first civilization, the first center for hub culture, a hub of culture and trade. Mm-hmm. What that would mean is anything that's written down past them would have gotten their information from
them. They became the baseline.
Exactly.
They became the true baseline, really.
They set the standard.
Right.
For civilization. So everything is going to derive from them. So it's only natural to see it that way.
Right. One thing I also want to point out, basically every religious sculptor, painter, artist, more or less, has always put little things in their works here and there. The big ones is what I'm getting at. There are paintings.
You'll see. Little things? Okay.
Well, I mean, sometimes they're little, sometimes they're bigger, you know. They vary.
Oh, jeez.
Some paintings have these things in the background, in the sky. They're flying. And they have people in them. In India, there are a lot of sculptures that have these what look to be ships with people in them. They're called the, I'm going to butcher the hell out of this, Vimanika. Vimanas. Yeah, I'm not going to try it. It's Indian. They look to be spaceships. There are older sculptures of people standing next to humans. They're taller. They're built differently. They have what appears to be technology on their bodies. And these were events that were significant enough to be carved into stone. I feel like, just like with Göbekli Tepe, they carved significant events into stone. And that was a practice that I feel was always passed around the world. Big events get carvings. Why would they just put random shit on these stone carvings?
So let me counteract this point.
Sure.
By saying humans didn't understand how various drugs worked for a long time.
I'll give you that.
And humans have been trading.
There's a chance that we got trolled across time.
So hear me out on this one. Humans have gone out of their way to get stoned as hell. Humans have made trips across continents to get high. And I will tell you this.
Drugs and ass.
Why do you think in the ancient, and be fair, this is from the Bible, they're talking about the burning of the bush, the burning of all these things, and seeing these angels and these demons and other things coming out from the burning of the... There are many cases where you're talking about fire and burning of different incense, different plants, different things. How many of these people do you think were stoned off their gourd in large groups, talking and discussing this stuff? And considering you're coming from a time where if you did not follow what everyone else was doing, you might not be a part of what everyone else is doing. You might not be invited. You might not be allowed. You have nowhere else to go. Also, especially like ancient Sumerian culture, what if you no longer have somewhere to live, no longer have people to talk to? I wonder if there's a lot of pressure as well to say, oh, yeah, I see the giant flying thing. Oh, I see this or that. That's always been my curiosity is you take the drugs, you see what we're saying that you see, or else you end up somewhere you don't want to be. So that is what's pushed.
Gibbs, you just opened up my mind brain.
See, this is, I wanted to let you have the beginning of this so I can then start throwing in the weird shit.
No, so the way you were talking, open fires were a big thing back in those times.
Well, like, yeah.
Big open fire pits. Do you remember not all that long ago, there was a news reporter who was standing next to a huge pile of drugs that were getting burned, and he was stoned in the middle of his news report, and he was just giggling like a schoolgirl.
Yep.
What's the possibility that that was how the people in charge controlled the people? They just dumped like massive amounts of hashish into the public square to be burned, and they just got everybody like a little high.
Let me bake your noodle on this one. Why do you think religious ceremonies were held in, why do you think religious ceremonies were held in small enclosed spaces with burning things all around?
They were the original
hot boxers. They were the original stoners, man. Yeah, man. There's this big man in the sky that controls everything, and he comes down like this demon, and he sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're I'm not shitting on anybody that's religious, because like that's cool if that's your thing. Again, I come from a religious family, so like I get that, but my point is I'm not talking about what it is now.
You can't deny the fact of how much religion was used to control people back in the day.
It always has been and still is.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the way that I look through from my understanding of history as somebody that studied history a lot and got a degree in it. Man, it just comes across to me like the things that were discussed and done and how they did it. You have people that are really, really fucking stoned that are really high off their ass. And potentially, what if people have never been exposed to it until they get into the building? And remember, this is something else people need to consider. Humans back then weren't necessarily very clean. Most cities stunk. They reeked.
People you used to be able to smell France from like 100 miles away or something.
Yeah, you could smell Paris from like 20, 30 miles south of it. It was nuts. So consider, and that was with plumbing, some plumbing, basic plumbing, and other things. You're talking about these ancient civilizations before they understood, you know, anything. What if it's the case of they don't even understand what is going on other than that religious leader that tells people to go grab these plants, they burn them, and they all start seeing things. And they share it as a group experience. Because I will say, when you look at certain drugs like ashwagandha and a few other things, and what's the other one the Native Americans take?
Peyote.
Peyote and a few other ones. People have reported shared experiences on those drugs in groups. So imagine, if you will, a little bit of fire, a whole lot of whatever, a concoction of anything. And then possibly people forget cocaine has been a drug that's been grown in the Middle East for a long time.
Well, poppies too.
Poppies, yeah.
So heroin, because they smoked it for a long time before they shot it.
Yes, obviously. Sorry, I think it was heroin, not cocaine, I'm sorry. I don't know much about drugs, but I do know what some things. So the point I'm getting at is, people have been high off their ass for a long time.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Okay. So I guess that's the way I view it, where no wonder why humans would naturally go down that route. Because one, religion in a lot of ways can be quite comforting to people to understand like there's a purpose, there's a reason. You know, it explains this theory and it's an all nice, neat little package and it's cool and it keeps people under control. I get it. Yeah. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but you can't sit there and tell me that the original religious people, particularly the religious leaders, weren't stoners. They absolutely were. So
this all makes so much more sense now.
Yeah. That was one of the big points I was waiting for us to set up so I could make it. That's why I was quiet.
Oh, I love this podcast.
Yes. So if we're talking about now, I think when you're also talking about the stoner stuff, now I want to pivot to, if you're talking about aliens. Now, if you see all these people that are high on drugs doing everything as an organized group, what if it's a mixture of both? This is, I think, the most plausible theory. is the idea that those same people that are having religious functions, religious things, doing these things, see these shared experiences. And possibly, remember, back then humans were a lot shorter on average, a lot shorter in stature, their nutrition wasn't nearly as good. What if you had some people that were very much outside the norm? Maybe you had people that went up north for a few thousand years and came back down south, and they're like, what the hell? It's like the ancient Vikings meeting the ancient Romans, where the Romans on average are like 5'4", 5'5", whereas the Vikings, some of them were over 6 feet, which to them, that looks like a giant. Like that is insane. Right. They've never seen something like that. A guy that's over 160 pounds, what is he, a fucking mountain? Like, no. Mind you, if we went back, then they'd be running out of the streets. They'd be like, oh my God, Godzilla. But, you know.
Godzilla!
My buddy that's like 6'7", or our mutual friend that's like 7 foot tall. Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah, it would be insane. So,
yeah, he's not a small boy for height or width wise. And
no.
Seeing him coming down the streets, I mean, oh my God. Put some armor on him.
We have to get permission to tell the toilet story.
Oh,
one
God.
Of these days, and I will leave that for the viewers to put piece together. We'll bring that up another time. But I guess my original point I'm coming back to is seeing aliens and seeing other things is something that we know when people take drugs. That's a very common thing. Things that cannot be explained. Some people have good trips, bad trips. Mind you, mushrooms were also around during that time, and a few other different things. So. My question is, when you mix all these things, because you don't know what the hell they're doing, not to mention alcohol has always been around, it would not surprise me.
Oh, it pains me to say this.
Mm-hmm.
You might be right.
I'm just saying.
I don't like it. I don't like the way this feels in my mouth. I don't like the taste of it.
I put nothing in your mouth.
You have put this in my mouth,
no.
And I don't like the way it feels.
No. I don't like this either. Take it out of your mouth. I did not consent to this. But that is the long-held belief that I've had for some of the stuff. And I could be totally wrong, but I feel like it's the most logical answer. Now, to be fair, the flip side of it is they could have seen some crazy shit a couple of times, and they could be absolutely 100% telling the truth. But I'm willing to bet that 90% of the time they were just on drugs.
May have been drugs involved. Yeah.
May have been drugs. And also consider the amount of humans that like suffered from things like infections and fever that would also cause.
You get delusional during fever and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, especially with absolutely no medical knowledge. That might have been very common back then. Not to mention with other ailments that happen with severe alcoholism, food poisoning, malnutrition, all of these things combined. Especially imagine you have somebody that's severe malnutrition, that has an infection, that's on 6 different drugs or something like that, that's also drunk. They will just be a pile of mush reporting seeing anything. So,
right.
You know,
like the only thing that I can offer as a counter to that is some of these people ended up writing down things that were many thousands of years later proven to be accurate.
Oh yeah.
You know, star charts, building things. God, words are leaving me. But what's the term where you build shit and it's like
it's what?
Dynamically correct.
So are you
architecture? About- that's the word. Architecturally accurate things. Yes. And it was like spot the hell on, like the way the pyramids were.
So the three pyramids perfectly. That align with Orion's belt. The Great Pyramid of Giza, that is perfect north, south, east, and west with a compass when they didn't understand polarity, didn't understand the compass. And the one that you told me, which still gets me, that I cannot for the life of me, I've tried debunking this, and I cannot debunk it for the life of me, that the Pyramid of Giza on the longitudinal coordinates is exactly the same number as in the speed of light in meters. And the longitude and latitude is used in meters. Mm-hmm. So here's what my thing is. People say, oh, well, just it matches up because it's in meters. It's like, if you measure it in inches, it's going to be the same thing. It is somehow, with the way we have described as the Earth, longitude and latitude, if you use meters, if you use inches, you could use millimeters. It doesn't matter. It lines up to the exact point to be like, what, 10 or 12 places to the speed of light?
Yeah.
How? Mm-hmm. There's no way that there is some way that either there was one Egyptian architecturist or architect that is the luckiest human to ever exist by a factor of 10,000, or somebody knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, with a lot of Egyptian art and stuff like that, it is very possible mm-hmm. that there were, you know, ancient aliens that have visited, that did interact. The only reason why I counteract that is I wouldn't think it would be something that happened all the time, because then I feel like we'd have more concrete information exactly. But it is very possible there were several times where they came down, and then people, mind you, people that were freaking terrified, kept seeing them all on drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Because, not going to lie, if I saw like a 13-foot tall Anubis with like a dog-looking head holding a big spear, like, I keep thinking of Stargate. Like,
yes.
Yes. I would shit myself.
Thinking on that same line, the Nazca lines. Those are something that still to this day cannot be explained.
Yeah.
There is nothing that we have that says this is why these were done. And one of them looks like a frickin' runway.
And a long one.
Uh-huh. Like, why and how? And it's like, it's precise. All the Nazca lines are very precise. And like, you need aerial information to get things at that level of precision.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It is one of those things where, while in the past humans could be precise because they would have entire teams of humans doing things that nowadays we have just like a handful of people. However, something like that to that level, I would say most likely not. I'd say that looks a little too.
I mean, I'm not against the opinion that an older civilization may have existed, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago. That was advanced to a point.
To a point, but, you know, you never know what wiped them out, if they existed.
Right. I mean, they could have gotten as far as we did in the 1800s.
Who knows? You know?
Something like that, if they got as... The younger Dryas could have taken out pretty much all the evidence. And survivors could have just restarted.
And it's also, you never really know how many of them there could have been. It could have been a small number. You know, it could have been the case of maybe they were diseased or infections or something like that happens. Because for humans, for all of our faults, we have a very robust immune system, even compared to most other animals. So it's very possible that if there was another species or something else here, they may not have been as robust in the way that they should have been.
Yeah.
You know, we've been lucky with the fact that we have spent so much time on this planet, and the human body is pretty well defined to survive as long as we meet our basic needs of, you know, food, water, shelter.
Stupid China virus.
Whereas there are possibly, if there was other species or other, you know, aliens here, it's very possible that their needs exceeded that. You know, maybe they were different needs. I always feel like H.G. Wells did a really good observation of this with War of the Worlds. Where you might run into a civilization technologically that is so far advanced that it makes us look like snails. However, if you are not robust enough to deal with the climate and the wildlife that is there, and even the microbial life that is there, you will eventually suffer. Because in H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, we did not beat the aliens through technology. In fact, they lost to Mother Nature. They got infected by biology and they died, and that is how we won, by just staying alive. Think of the Bee Gees.
Our gross biology.
So it's one of those things where I'm not saying H.G. Wells predicted the past, but it's one of those things where if maybe you were advanced enough to get to a certain point but didn't understand farther, you could very much mistaken this planet, say, oh yeah, this looks habitable, this looks great, drop some people off, and then you never hear back from them. All of a sudden, oh wow, the scouts we never heard back from, but the humans, the Cro-Magnons that were there, you know, the Neanderthals and all that. Maybe we did come from apes in a way, and we just kind of outlived the other people. Who knows? It could be a mixture of both too. That's the other thing that I wanted to bring up was, a lot of people say there's no way we came from apes. My response is, well, maybe we didn't come directly from them, but maybe we did evolve from something in the middle where,
right.
You know, I'm not saying apes were the starting point, but if we were already halfway to where we are now, maybe we just outlived the other things that were here.
Yeah.
That were more advanced.
There could have been a split because that's when you're talking about the ape evolution, and we haven't really talked a whole lot about this. The big factor in that is, well, if we evolved from apes, why are there still apes? Well, genetic offshoots, just one goes one way, one goes the other.
Well, also, apes are pretty dominant in their environment. They are already well-suited. It's the offshoots that go find another environment to dominate. If you've studied ecology, you'd understand that if there's already a dominant species in that area, the offshoot will go find somewhere else to be more efficient, to thrive in, as the verbiage goes. So for us as humans, we are so adaptable that it is very possible that we had several different offshoots at different areas. And I mean, not for nothing, look, even with our own species, you know, we have a lot of different variants and offshoots from each other.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why that couldn't happen. It's not like we have to be directly, it's not like one day an ape decided to grab a stone together, make fire or something like that. It's not like, it doesn't have to be this direct A to B to C to D. That's not always how things work. And who knows? We could be the experiment. You know, we could be in happy accident. We could have got here off, you know, an asteroid or something, or dropped off. Who knows? Maybe
we could be the result of a alien just doing a drive-by and jerking off out the window.
I hate that analogy. No. I refuse that one. Can I make another point that I forgot to make earlier?
Sure.
What if both religion, the religious story, and the alien story is true?
That's a good one.
What if Adam and Eve is true as a story, but they were dropped off as an experiment?
Yeah.
What if it's when
you start going down that line, you get into a whole bunch of other things, like Earth could have been a prison planet.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like that idea. We're just Australia of the galaxy.
Yeah, but I really feel like if we were a prison planet, they wouldn't have dropped us off at such a small number. Because, like, if you're advanced enough to where there's only, like, a handful of humans, you clearly don't have a hard time, like, offing them. Like, clearly. They could have dropped us off on the moon and been like, all right, have fun breathing, fuckers. Like, no. Like,
right.
Clearly, there would have been intent behind it to do something positive. Or, and this is the other thing, is I wonder if the reason why we see so much more UFO activity nowadays is because of how far we've advanced in such a short amount of time and how well we can document it. Maybe this entire time we have been under watch, but now it is accelerating because of how quick things are unfolding. And maybe, just maybe, this wasn't planned to go this way. Because look at how quickly civilization has evolved in the last 60 years, 80 years, when it comes to, particularly, we beat silicon into thinking. When it comes to computers, that has been the single biggest advancement in, it is one of the largest, and it's revolutionized everything about our existence.
And we took 30,000 years to go from sticks and stones to landing on the moon. We've gone from landing on the moon to we are facing an AI apocalypse in 60, 70 years.
You know what's crazy? We went from not having aircraft to landing to, we went from just barely figuring out aircraft to landing on the moon in like 50 years.
Right.
That is incredibly insane. We went from, oh yeah, we can just barely fly, to we're going to fly on another fucking planet that doesn't have an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane. If I was an alien race that was charged with, like, all right, time to check into 247-B and 9781, and you come back to Earth after 100 years and you're like, the fuck? Yeah, I would be a little concerned too. I'd say, wait a minute, this experiment is out of fucking control and you can't do anything about it. Maybe we've reached that crossing point where they're like, oh fuck, these guys can now travel. I was supposed to eradicate them 200 years ago. Now there's bylaws that I can't get rid of them because they have international travel. Fuck. Like, who knows? Maybe we are. And again, I'm going to be a little Star Trek nerd here. What if we are now at the point where the Galactic...
We're on the precipice of joining the Galactic Federation.
What if? What if we're now at the point? It's like, well, crap, they can travel off their planet. Now the rules apply. Now I have to wait for official diplomatic meetings. God damn it, I have all this paperwork to file. Blah, blah, blah. This sucks. Like, it's possible.
Right.
It. I don't know. I like to think that way because I really love the idea of our existence inconveniences an alien. That is my goal. I love the idea of being like, God fucking damn it, I have to file this fucking paperwork and do all the stupid things. You know, like now I have to sit here and describe about all the weird things humans do. And one of these is, and I quote, licking whipped cream off of a nipple. Like, how am I supposed to explain this to my superiors? Like, no, these people are weird.
Man, if they have to describe my life, oh, I feel sorry for that alien.
You are going to have to show aliens what a therapist is in order to help fix them. That's the problem.
Wait. You said he just yanks the beads like a lawnmower?
Oh, no. You could snort cocaine off of where? So... Can I bring in my other theory here? The fourth one.
Let's have it. Fourth wall okay. break.
The fourth one is I believe there is a solid chance that all of these are wrong. The real reason is that, and this is why I think that quantum physics has something to do with this, we are in a simulation. We're in the Matrix. I know I brought it up in the past on a previous episode, but there is a reason why physics doesn't work when it's too small and it's too big. It's because we weren't supposed to get this far.
Well, thank you.
But on a serious note, it explains the fact that we really come from nothing. It explains the fact there's an artificial limit to what we can see, what we can experience. It explains all of the weirdness, all the weird quirks kind of to human existence, all the things that we cannot explain, cannot observe. And more importantly, why doesn't physics behave at a subatomic level? Why is it completely new rules? Because, oh yeah, if you've never really programmed for that, there's no way to know. There's no way to know we'd get this far. So what if we are truly the ultimate experiment?
I like that.
You know? I know it's an easy way out. Don't get me wrong. I understand it's a bit of a cop-out.
Right, but so my question is, where is the green diamond above my head?
Oh, the Sim, to be a Sims character? This explains why I go into rooms and forget what I'm doing all the time.
Well, yeah. And also, when you can't go to sleep at night, it's because the sleep servers are full, and you only finally go to sleep when the sleep servers get a spot because somebody else woke up.
Yeah, they need to update those servers. They need to upgrade them, because what the fuck?
Yeah, there's eight.
Oh, wait a minute. This explains insomniacs.
Mm-hmm. There are now 8 billion people on the planet. I think I said this in another episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, good job, India and China.
Boy, the Karma Sutra really kicked into overdrive, huh? They read that book and said, yes, please. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You almost made me tell my joke.
Well, you can't.
I won't tell it.
Well, that's rude. You can't say, oh, I almost told that joke. That's like saying I almost gave you $1,000. Fuck off. That's rude. I see how it is.
The Kama Sutra joke. I almost told. That was the one. I told you that the other day.
I already forgot it.
It's the political one.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's a good one. But anyways, so that is my fourth theory. On that to where congratulations, none of those mean anything. You are in a simulation and make that as you wish. You know, it doesn't change anything about your life. It's other than the physics above and below you are ununderstandable by us because they do not work.
Right.
And the only reason I say that is because if you look up quantum physics, you will understand.
Shit gets weird.
It gets very weird. It's the only type of physics where it changes if you observe it. Figure that one the hell out.
Does this mean I have Schrodinger's penis? where it's both massive and normal at the same time, but it only changes into the state once it's observed by my date?
I'm not dignifying that with a response. I am not dignifying that. No. I feel like you're just admitting that you have small hands is all I'm hearing. Because you might think
I do have small hands.
And that's probably why it's massive.
Then everybody else has small hands.
Well, I don't know how many other people you expect to touch your penis.
I need more.
No, not volunteering. That's not my job.
I need volunteers!
No, dude, I will tell people in the audience, you do not volunteer for that job. Oh, God. Now we're going to get weird emails. Thank you for that one. Thank you for that.
Hey, I'm okay with weird emails.
There's going to be some lonely women in your area. Hi.
You mean the pop-ups are true?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's really... Yeah, I guess that's... I know it took us a little bit to wind up for this one to get us going. Mm-hmm. But I liked the longer setup, and then we finally got to deliver on the a few of the discussions there. Did you have any other like thoughts or things that we missed? Because
well,
we kind of covered, unless
whether it's true or not, just try to be a good human. At the end of the day, the golden rule should always apply. You know, I am not a religious person, but I still just try to be a decent human being. Yeah. And whether I'm right or wrong, I feel that should just be good enough.
Yeah.
Because the way things are told and taught, I feel that no matter the way you live your life, if you're decent and good by societal normal values, you should be okay.
Yeah. Regardless of your differences, regardless of everything else, treat others the way you'd want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And you're fine. It's really honestly one of the easiest concepts ever. It's just unfortunate Absolutely. That people overcomplicate the hell out of it. It's like, you know. Right. Just have a little empathy and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of your personal beliefs. Because that's one of my favorite things about life is having people I agree and disagree with. And being able to challenge my preconceptions and to be able to listen to other people and understand that
right.
At the end of the day, most people are just preaching from their perspective and that's cool. And we're all going to agree on some stuff. We're going to disagree on some stuff. And quite frankly, sometimes I have opinions on things because I find it fun. It's not even because it's right or wrong. It's like, it amuses me and that's fine.
One thing that I would like to see more of, I could give a shit if people agree or disagree. I wish people could disagree peacefully.
Yeah.
And civilly.
I would say one of the best things I ever learned was to play devil's advocate for the fun of it. To learn to argue for something, even if I'm actually against it.
Right.
Just for the sake of arguing about it, but also to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And to definitely understand too. I think this is a core thing about people that need to understand. Your values on a particular political ideology or any one particular thing do not define you and define you in whole as a person. Meaning you can have a political or ideological or religious, whatever opinion that somebody disagrees with. It doesn't change your value as a person. It does not change how those people interact, or how they should value you, how they should treat you. It's just a difference of opinion. And that's totally fine. Sorry, that was a phone in the background.
Ah, okay.
So you could hear that clearly on that one?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, do you have an ice cream man coming down your street?
No, the aliens are beaming me up, Scotty. So, yeah, I guess that's my two cents of, you know, let people disagree and allow them to enjoy their life and enjoy what they value. And just say, cool, that's cool, man. Like, I have a couple of friends that I'm really, really close with that they're very religious. And I'm like, I'm not religious, but I'm not religious. Like, it's just not really my thing.
Right.
I guess I'm more like the agnostic spectrum where like there could be a God, but I really don't have an opinion. But like a couple of my friends are super religious and they invite me all the time to go to church, stuff like that. I'm like, oh, I appreciate the invite. And like, I know you people are nice, but like, I just, I'd rather do all this stuff on my Sunday, and that's cool. And we all laugh about it every time. And it's like, it's cool. We get along. But yeah, just, I guess the golden rule, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think we can end it on that bit of golden classical advice. Don't be dick.
Do not electively be a Richard.
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, otherwise, keep the feedback coming.
Yeah. We've appreciated a lot of the views and a lot of responses we've gotten from people. We definitely would love more people to join the Discord. That would be fun, as well as any of our social media pages. Now that we know TikTok is going to be staying around, I do want to do some stuff on TikTok coming up soon. I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to do that logistically, but there's some stuff in there I'd like to do, as well as we'd like more feedback from people about episode ideas, discussion ideas.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we do want to be able to have like fan interactions. We have like a call-in room and a live room and some other stuff that we'd love to be able to get some people on to hear their opinions about stuff. Because we think it'd be fun. It'd be fun to like interact with people in a live setting. As well as eventually do live streams and other stuff. But that's coming down the pipeline.
Yep.
And also definitely check out our Discord for any like funny things. We have like dark humor and stuff and like a memes channel and other things. So
if not safe for work, dark humor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that one. There's a few other channels too. So I don't know what you're doing on video, but anyways.
Salt bang the dark humor.
Oh, okay. Anyways, I can't say what I was thinking on stream, but that's the point I'm getting at. Just, you know, if you want to interact with us, we're more than happy to. Love to see y'all there. And yeah, we're looking forward to interactions. Looking forward to seeing y'all in the next episode.
Hell yeah.
So thank y'all for watching, and we shall catch you next time.
See you then.